Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Hey, welcome to My City Church Online. We are so thankful that you've joined us today. Wherever you're watching from, whether it's from your iPhone or the comfort of your living room, we want to say a massive welcome home to you. And today we are kicking off a brand new series called Stress Out. And that's what we want to help you do. We want to help you get the stress out of your life so that the joy can come in. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at four categories that produce a lot of stress in our lives. According to the APA, the American Psychological Association, they say these four things, the way we manage our time, the way we manage our money, our work, and our relationships, these are the things that are robbing us of joy and putting stress in our life. So we're going to look at how do we manage these four areas and how do we get the joy back in our life. And we got a theme scripture for the whole series, and it's found in Luke chapter 21, and it's Jesus writing. He's giving commentary about the end times, and he's saying there's going to be stress all around you, but here's some things that I want you to know. So Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, he says, be careful. What is he saying? You're going to have to be careful because there's going to be stress all around you, and you don't want to let the stress around you get in you. And he says, because if you let it get in you, your heart's going to be weighed down by dissipation. Dissipation, what does that mean? It means this fading away of your life. It's one thing after one thing after one thing, and it just eats away at your life until there feels like there's nothing left. He says that you can be weighed down by drunkenness. And that's not just the act of getting drunk, but it's the things that we do when we're stressed to kind of numb out the pain. We all have things that we try to self-medicate with. And he's saying, you got to be careful, because if stress gets in you, you're gonna start to self-medicate. And he says, all of these things are caused by the anxieties of life. And he says, on that day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap. And that's what stress and anxiety does. It kind of unexpectedly closes in on us like a trap. And that's why today I want to talk to you about these different traps that we can fall in. And today, the one that I want to speak to you about is this thing called time stress. How we use our time, how we manage our time. If we don't be careful, it's going to get in our hearts and it's going to cause a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. And so today, as we go to God's word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence that is real and tangible. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to get the stress out and to let the joy of the Lord in, because your joy is our strength. God, and I pray if there's anybody who's watching this today that their head is down, maybe they don't have much hope or faith today, that by the end of this message and by the end of this day, that hope would be in their hearts, their eyes would be back on you, full of faith. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Well, I've got a question for you. Have you ever been in one of those seasons of life where it just felt like stress stuck up on you? It came almost upon you. I've had some moments like this, and one of them happened to me recently. It was about 3 weeks ago, and we had just had this whole coronavirus kind of turn our world upside down, and we realized that we weren't going to be able to do church as normal. And the thing that I realized was I knew exactly what that meant. We were going to literally have to reinvent our church as soon as humanly possible. So we were working late nights, 12, 14-hour days. I was up late recording messages and recording worship. And then I'd get home, and my kids are still trying to figure out how to deal with the stress that they're feeling. And they're not sleeping well, and they're crying. I remember I came through the door, and there was just toys everywhere in our house. Both of my boys are crying. And if I can be honest with you, it was like stress hit me like a ton of bricks. I felt like I wanted to start joining in on the crying with them. And the crazy thing that I started to realize in that moment was this simple fact. Stress was not only around me, stress, it had gotten in me. And that's the danger that we all face with stress. In fact, I would tell you this, that you can't get away from stress. Stress is going to be a part of your life. But there's a difference between experiencing stressful situations and allowing those stressful situations to get on the inside of you. I love the story of Job, and Job talks about stress like this. In Job chapter 9, verse 25, he says this. He says, "My days go by faster than a runner." What is he saying? Everything's happening around me so quickly, I feel like I can't even keep up. Every time I turn on the TV right now, there's a new coronavirus update. There's a new protocol that I have to find. Every time I go to Walmart, it's changed how close I can stand to somebody. What is he saying? He's saying, my days are just going by so fast. They're faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. What is he saying here? He's saying, there's so much going on around me. There's so much stress. It's gotten on the inside of me, and now I can't even see joy anymore. I've lost my joy. I've allowed stress to rob my joy. I remember when several years ago, this was probably about 6 years ago, I was traveling a lot preaching, and I had just went on a trip to Orlando and preached. I had preached a midweek gathering at our church. I'd preached several Sunday morning gatherings, and I was working long hours, and then I got on a plane, and I went to London, and if you've ever traveled speaking, as soon as you land, they really put you to work. You're doing different sessions, different leadership things, and I remember in the span of 2 days, I had preached 7 times, and I, with jet lag and with everything else going on, I'm telling you what, I was flat out exhausted. I was just, the stress of everything had definitely got on the inside of me. And I remember just being almost excited for the plane ride home. It's about a 10-hour plane ride home. And I was like, man, I'm going to sleep all 10 hours. And I remember I was getting back on the plane and I sat down, and it felt like one of those moments where it was like, okay, this is a moment where I'm going to be able to let the stress out of my life. Then all of a sudden, I felt this like stiffness in my chest. I could barely breathe. It felt like somebody was sitting on my chest. I couldn't find my words. All this noise was going on in my head. And I remember looking at the stewardess going, ma'am, I think something's wrong with me. And she told me to breathe into the little paper bag that they put in the back of the thing. And I kept on breathing. And finally, all of a sudden, I calmed down. And I was like, wow, that was weird. It was like I had a full-blown anxiety attack. I didn't know what was wrong with me. When I got home, I went to the doctor, and I asked the doctor, I said, doctor, here's what happened, and here's what happened to me. And I go, is something wrong with me? And he goes, well, I got good news, and I got bad news. And I said, well, give me the good news first. He says, you haven't had a heart attack. You really don't have anything physically wrong with you. And I go, okay, well, that's good news. Give me the bad news. He goes, you may be going nuts. And I didn't know whether he's being serious or not. So I almost wanted to laugh. And I said, doc, are you saying I'm going physically crazy? He goes, no, the way you're running your life is crazy. He says, you're working too much. He says, you're living on caffeine, you're traveling, you're not sleeping. And he goes, your body is trying to tell you something. I said, doctor, why did this happen when I calmed down on the plane? He goes, because your body had been in such high gear for so long. This was the first moment that you gave it to tell you how it felt. And he's saying, your body is telling you it's time to slow down. He goes, Jesse, if you don't slow down, something bad's going to happen. And then he made this statement to me. He said, the handwriting's on the wall. And I remember that statement sticking with me in such a profound way. The handwriting is on the wall. What did that mean? He's saying, listen, your body's trying to give you signs. If you don't slow down, something bad is going to happen. And that term, handwriting on the wall, that's actually a biblical term. I want you to see where it comes from. It comes from Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And it says, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for thousands of his nobles and drank wine with them. They're just having a big party. It says, while Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So this guy's throwing a big party, and it's not enough for him just to throw a big party. He wants to mock God. See, the Babylonians had invaded Israel, overthrown the temple, taken all the items, and he's saying, if we're going to get drunk, we're going to get drunk with the gold from God's temple. And it says, so they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of the God of Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. As they drank wine, they praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. I want you to see this just for a moment. They praised things that man uses. These are things that man strives after: gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, stone. These are the luxuries of being wealthy. What is he saying? We're going to praise what we can do in our own strength. We're going to praise how great we are, all the wealth that we have accumulated. What is he saying? He's saying we don't need God. We're strong in ourselves. And here's what happens. It says suddenly. I love that it says suddenly. Here's what I found. If you don't start to honor God with your time a little bit, start to slow down, you're going to have a suddenly moment, much like I had on the airplane, where the stress was no longer around me. It's gotten in me, and I'm having a suddenly moment. And here's what the suddenly moment was. And it says, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall. Can you imagine seeing this? This is, I don't know what it looked like, but this is floating hand kind of floating around. And it began to write on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. He's about to pass out. He's having a moment. And it says, the king summoned the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. What is he saying? He's saying, not only am I not going to honor God, but I don't know what this means. And so you know what? I'm going to look to human resources, human power, to figure out what this supernatural thing means. I want to tell you today, at some point in your life with stress, there are going to be some answers that this world can't give you. You're not going to be able to find the answers in psychology today or by Googling something or watching Oprah. At some point, you're going to have to move beyond man's power, and you're going to have to come to God. And here's what happens. Then he said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around their neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Next verse. Oh crap, I wasn't paying attention. Sweet Mother of Mary. There's no coming back from that one. Yeah, let's go to the top of the verse. No. Just, yeah. Yep, so we'll start from here. No, the next one. Yeah. All right. One, two. The king summoned the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. The king summoned the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. What is he doing here? He's saying, I've already been rebelling against God. I don't want to look to God for answers of what this supernatural thing is, so I'm going to call in all the strength of man. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to realize that if you're really going to deal with stress, if you're going to get the stress out and you're going to get the joy in, you're going to have to go to something greater than man's power to get the job done. And this is what happened. Then he said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. What is he saying? I got to know what the handwriting on the wall means. I got to figure out what this means. So anybody who tells me what it means, listen, you're going to be a rich man, you're going to be a powerful man, but here's what happens. They go away and they tell the king, we do not know what this means. But they say, we know a guy by the name of Daniel. He's a God man. And he's probably going to have answers for you for what this handwriting on the wall means. And I want you to see here for a moment what Daniel says when he comes to the king, and he says, listen, I can tell you what this means. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 25, he says, This is the inscription that was written, Mini Mini Tikal Parson. You're like, what on earth does Mini Mini Tikal Parson means? And Daniel goes, I know exactly what this means. And he tells him in verse 26. He says, here is what these words mean. Many, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. What is he saying right here? He's saying, King, you need to understand this, that your life will not go on forever. In fact, your days, they're numbered. And God's saying the time of your reign is coming to the end. Can I tell you today, your days are numbered. And God is making him aware of the shortness of his life. Then Daniel goes on to tell him more. He says, Daniel chapter 5, verse 27, he says, Tikal, you have been weighed on the scales and founded wanting. What is he saying? God has taken your life and weighed it. And what he's found that the weight that you're carrying on your life is this thing called wanting. You want to keep, you're wanting more. Nothing's ever good enough. We praise the God of gold, silver, bronze, and stones, and we're always looking for more. And God has found you to be wanting, and these are the things that are weighing down your life. And then he goes on, verse 28, he says, Perez, he says, your kingdom is divided. Your kingdom is divided. What is he saying? Because of these things, your time, your attention is divided and given to the Midians and the Persians. He's saying, listen, because of all of this, you're going to lose something. Here's the three things that I want you to grab out of this. Number one, our days are numbered. Your days are numbered. You will not live forever. I know that's not encouraging. I know right now we have so much fear in the world about this thing called death. But the reality is that death is appointed to us all. And God wants you to remember the way you use your time should be a reflection of understanding that your days are numbered. That if your time is short, if I told you you had 30 days to live, I bet you would live your life a whole lot differently than you're living it right now. That the fact that we are able to number our days helps us manage our time more effectively. He also says this. He says it's easy for our lives to easily get out of balance. That's what he told the king. He says, you're weighed down by wanting. All this wanting has gotten your life completely out of balance. You're not majoring in the majors anymore. You're majoring in the minors because all you want is more. All you want is more, and your life has become completely out of balance. Here's the other thing. Our misuse of time will always cost us something. For the king, it was costing him his kingdom. But when we misuse our time, you have to understand that there is a price tag to pay, that we end up losing the things that we love the most, and we end up gaining the things that bring more stress into our lives. And today, as we jump into this and we look at some points of how to deal with, get the stress out of our life, get the joy back in, I want you to consider something. I want you to consider something. Today is Sunday, and we are online, and you have taken a moment out of your life to say, you know what, God, I'm going to put you first. The Bible calls this thing a thing called Sabbath. It's that God said that 6 days you can work, 6 days manage that time. On the seventh day, that day's holy to me. It's a day unto the Lord. It's not just an hour and a half in church. It's deeper than that. What would happen in your life if you took a day and you dedicated to the Lord? What does that mean to dedicate it to the Lord? That you did things that refreshed your soul. That you stripped away some of the noise and you begin to take an inventory of what is going on in your life. Imagine if you took an inventory of your time each week. This is one of the things that I do on my day off. I sit down, I look at my calendar. I look at the way I spent my time last week. I look at how I'm going to invest my time this next week. And I make adjustments because I want to make sure that I'm taking inventory of how I'm spending my time. What would happen this year if you took a moment to slow down once a week and you took inventory of how you're spending your time? I think one of the blessings of what is going on right now in our world with everybody being quarantined in the house is some of the things that have been distracting us, maybe robbing us of joy, or just have been a flat out waste of time, have been stripped away, and now we have a moment to look at. When we get back to normal life, will we live it the same? Or will we take a moment to look at our time and say, God, I want to be faithful with the time that you've given me. I want to take some inventory in my life. I want to take a moment and reflect on how I am investing my time because I know you want to do something. I think if you took a moment each week to reflect, I think there's three things that you ought to take a moment to reflect on. If you want your time not to be producing stress, by the way, for Americans, this is the number one cause of stress. It's the number one cause of stress, how we are managing our schedule. And I think if we took time to evaluate it once a week, we'd get a whole lot better. And there's three things that I think we ought to look at. And the first one is that I think you ought to take time to refocus on what matters. Refocus on what matters. That what that's telling me is that our focus has a tendency to get on things that don't matter. I think the blessing of what is going on right now during quarantine is that a lot of things that don't matter have been stripped away, and we're left with the things that are essential to focus on, our family, our relationship with God. And I think if we took a moment to consider how we've been unfocused and refocus on what matters most in our lives, we would find ourselves being a whole lot more effective. Here's the reality. When we're not focused on the right things, we just expend energy all over the place. I want you to see what your life looks like when it's not focused. It's like your energy is just, it's going in every different direction. Your life is not prioritized. You've got 1,000 things like calling for your attention. The reality is that you're expending energy, but the reality is you're not going anywhere. And I see this with a lot of people. They are putting out the same amount of energy as people that are effective, as people that are carrying less stress. They're putting out the same amount of energy, but their energy does not have focus, so it's just going everywhere at once. Here's what I think happens to us when we refocus our energy, and I think this is what God wants your life to look like, that we point all of our energy in a focused direction. Here's the interesting thing about this. This is the same amount of energy. Each one of these little arrows are going in the same direction. If we just put them all together, that's how far we could get in life, by just focusing our energy. God wants you to take some time to refocus your energy on what matters most. So here's the question that I had to ask myself this week is that what really matters most in my life? You know, the thing that I think matters most above all other things is that relationship matters. Like, relationship matters in your life. There is not a single person who's gonna be on their deathbed that is gonna say, man, I wish I had time to record one more sermon. I wish I had time to spend 4 more hours in the office. I wish I had time to watch another movie. The reality is what people talk about on their deathbed is the power of relationship. What would happen during this season while we are quarantined? That you started to maybe hear a message from God, that he's stripped away a lot of the distractions, and the things that are left in our life is this thing called relationship. God wants you to have relationships, and God wants you to be in relationship. I want to challenge you, if you're not on an online group, I know it's a little unorthodox, and it's not the same as being face-to-face, but during this season, do not let yourself get isolated. Isolation will put stress in your life. Relationships will let the stress get out and will bring some joy in. Get signed up for an online group. Make the best out of this season. Build some new friendships, even if it's through a computer screen. Relationships matter. Here's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. A person who's all alone, stress can attack you. It can get in you. And if it gets in you, it's going to defeat you. But two can stand back to back and conquer. What is he saying? That if you're carrying stress, relationships, that you can lean on one another. You can help each other carry your burdens. And not only that, you can conquer stress together. It says three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know what you need in your life? You need somebody to be able to lean on, to find strength in, and you need to put God in the middle of that relationship. Why? Because relationships matter. You know what else matters in your life? Purpose matters. Purpose matters. Your purpose matters in life. Maybe one of the greatest things that you can do in this season where the world has slowed down is to rediscover your purpose. God has a purpose for you. Here's what the book of Acts in chapter 20, verse 24 says. It says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing of the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." What is Paul writing about right here, or talking about? He's saying, my life, it's gonna be full of stress, anxiety, and a lack of direction unless I focus on my purpose. Because I wanna tell you today, God has a work assignment for you. God has something that he's designed for you to do. And the greatest day of your life is the day you're born. The second greatest day is the day that you discover the work God's assigned you to, because it will fill your life with purpose. Purpose matters. You know what else I think matters? Eternity matters. Eternity matters. Like I said, our days are numbered. This life is but a vapor. The majority of your life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, will be spent in eternity. So let's live our life in a way that is focused on eternity. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought that field." What is the field? It's heaven. It's eternity. And Jesus is saying, when you get your attention focused on eternity, you won't worry. You won't worry about the things that you have in this world. You'll go sell them all to grab a hold of more of eternity. And you're going to find some joy coming in your life. Can I tell you, invest in eternal things. Think about your life when you get out of this season of quarantine. How you're going to make your life matter by sharing the good news of Jesus. The reality is the way I'm doing it right now has changed a whole lot, but my purpose hasn't changed. My focus on eternity hasn't changed. I believe God wants us to take some time to refocus on what matters. I think the second thing God wants us to focus on is this. I think God wants us to reduce to non-essentials. To reduce the non-essentials in our life. I think if anything has happened during this season, that some of the things that we would have considered essentials in our life have been kind of taken away from us, and we've literally are calling workers essential workers or non-essential workers in our life. Have you noticed everything's got a little bit simpler right now? And while we don't want our whole world to be filled with this for very long, I think there's a lesson to be learned that we can reduce some of the non-essentials in our life that are bringing stress out in us. They're killing us, and they're overwhelming us. The wisest man in the world, King Solomon, said it like this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." What is Solomon saying? Your life will be filled with a whole lot more joy and a whole lot less stress if you just handle what you can. Right now in America, we are ever grasping for more. We don't have just two hands. We're not just chasing after wind. We got two hands. We're trying to fit some in our foot and all over our lives. We're after more. Right now, the average American is spending 117% of what they make. And we wonder why we're stressed, why we're toiling, why we feel like we're chasing after the wind is because we don't just have one handful. We got two, three, four. We got a mouthful. What would happen if you took some time just to reduce some of the non-essentials in your life? I bet your budget would get better. I bet your relationship would get better. I bet that the stress would begin to get out of your life and joy would begin to come in, which means you're going to have to learn this word called no. There are some things that you are saying no to today that are actually essential. I see people trade in a life-giving church experience in a community of believers for soccer games on Sunday for their kids. Can I tell you, that soccer game isn't going to affect your eternity. That church service that's building your faith, that's raising your kids in the things of God, it's essential to your life. And we got to bring back the power of the word no. Here's the thing about no. If you learn to say no, you'll trade popularity for respect. I want to encourage some parents here right now. Have we allowed the activities, of our family to run our family? Have we allowed the busyness and really the non-essentials to rob our family from the things that matter most, the essentials, because we don't want to say the word no? But here's the power of being a parent or a leader or just for yourself. If you'll learn to get rid of no, yeah, they may get mad for a moment. You may lose a little bit of popularity, but they're going to respect you a whole lot more, because what they're seeing is that mom and dad have priorities. They are focused on the essentials. And let me tell you what is going to impact your world for the rest of your world and all of eternity. It's not the non-essentials. It's what? It's reducing some of the non-essentials that you can focus on the essentials. I think we got to take some time to reduce some of the non-essentials. And then this third thing that I think we ought to do, if we're taking time to sit with the Lord and look at how we are investing our time and get the stress out and let the joy in, the final thing that we got to do is, number three, we got to reprioritize our life. We got to reprioritize our life. I want you to see the definition of prioritize. Here's what it is. It says to determine the order. There's an order to the way you should be doing things. There's an order to the things that you should be paying attention to. And you have to determine that order. You have to determine it. Determine the order for dealing with a series of items or tasks according to their importance. Here's the question that I have for you today. Are you living your life? Have you determined the order that you're going to put what is important first thing first in your life? If you haven't, you need to sit with God and say, God, how have I allowed my life to get out of alignment? Because every time I get out of alignment, this thing that I've allowed to steal my joy is stressing me out. And here's the thing about setting priorities in your life. This is what you got to understand. If I don't prioritize my life, someone or something else will. Like, someone else is going to set it. It's going to be the 1900 school activities. It's going to be the boss at work that's putting extra demands on you. You've got to set priorities in your life, or somebody else will. And here's the question. During this quarantine, have you taken time to reflect on your priorities? I got a little illustration that I think is going to really help you here for a moment. And right now, what I've got is I've got two containers here, and here I've got a bunch of just little rocks in here. Just a bunch of little rocks, and to me, these little rocks, they represent all the non-essentials. It's all the, I got to go to the store, I got to pay that bill, I got to do this, I got to answer that email. It's all the 101 little things that are stressing us out, and we look at all these things, and we go, I have no more capacity for the things that matter most. How about the things that matter most? God, first and foremost. Like, God matters most. He should be the biggest rock in our life. So we put God in here. And then, like, our family. Like, our family becomes in here. And then you know, my purpose and eternity and these other things that matter. And all of a sudden, I start putting these in here. And to be real honest with you, they just don't fit in here anymore. Like, because I've got so much non-essentials in here. I'm so worried about so many different things. I've gotten the order all out of whack. And I want to ask you today, what would happen if you reprioritized your life? What if with the same capacity, you just did things with a new priority list? What would happen today if you, instead of putting it in like this, you did first things first, and that's put God first in your life? You put God number one, and then around God you built your family, and then around your family you built your purpose and your destiny. And then once you got all these things in, you took a moment and you realized that there's still room in here, but at the end of the day, these things are not going to get neglected. These things are my top priority. So now, as I'm able to, I'm going to allow some of these other things that have been coming for all my attention to flood in to the middle of my life. Here's the thing that I want you to see amidst all the smoke. I want you to see in this moment that everything that you were worried about now fits in here just fine. But you reprioritize your life. And when you reprioritize, you put some order to it. You said, God is going to be number one in my life. You've ordered your life. And here's what happens when you order your life. Here's what I want you to see. Order determines your capacity. Could it be that the reason you feel like you have no capacity left, why you feel so stressed out, why joy is not found, only stress is, it's because you simply got the order wrong. If you just got first things first, you can let joy in. And then all those other things coming around you, they wouldn't rob your joy. They would just fall into their appropriate order. Here's what Jesus said about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. He says, so don't worry. Don't be stressed. Don't be freaking out about every little thing, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He's saying you gotta quit stressing about the minors. There's majors that are way more important to this. And here's what he says. He says, for the pagans run after these things. What is he saying? He's saying, this is what people that don't have Jesus in their life run after. He's saying, you gotta reprioritize your life. He says, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them. But here's the solution. But seek first. Order your life. Seek after him. Seek after his kingdom and his righteousness. And what? All the little things, they'll be given to you as well. Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to put first things first. And seeking me and seeking the kingdom of God, these are the priorities. These are the things that your time should be given to. I think during this season, we got to take a moment to refocus on what matters. Our relationships. Listen, our purpose. Eternity. We got to take a moment to remove some of the non-essentials that are weighing us down. And we got to take a moment to reorder and reprioritize our life. Can I ask you today, when you come out of quarantine, are you just going to go back to business as usual? Are you going to take a moment to reprioritize, to repay attention to what matters most in your life? I think if we don't, we're going to be weighed down. The handwriting is on the wall. God is saying, hey, you got to let the stress out and let the joy in. I want you to take a moment and just let this, wherever you are, sink deep into your heart. I want you to see Jesus' cry to you today, found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, then Jesus said, come to me. It says, put me first. You're stressed out. You ain't got no joy. Come to me. You're weary. You're burdened. You're heavy laden. You come to me. All of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I think that word rest, sometimes we think is just sitting down doing nothing. No, that's not rest. Rest is you knowing your purpose and you knowing what matters most in your life. And you being able to get rid of all the things that are robbing your energy and point them in one direction, and you go further, faster, with less stress and with more joy. Jesus is saying, come to me. I'll give you purpose. I'll teach you how to manage your time. You point it towards the kingdom of God. You seek that first, and everything else that you're worried about, it's going to be added to you. Today, friend, would you come to him? And wherever you are, if you feel stressed, come to him. I want to ask you a question. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior in your life, right here, right now is the moment to let the stress of sin, the stress of guilt and shame out of your life and be born again so that the joy of the Lord can come into your life. That's what God wants to give you today. He wants to get the stress out. He wants to let the joy in. And if that's you today, I want to take a moment and pray a special prayer with you today. Right where you're at, you're going to pray a prayer repeating after me. And it's not the words of this prayer that save us. It's the condition of our heart saying, Jesus, I'm going all in for you. I'm giving my life to you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. So right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's celebrate everybody who just said yes to Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer, we could not be more proud of you. In fact, we're going to have more information at the end of the service for you to take amazing next steps that you can keep on growing in your faith journey. But for the rest of you, I want to pray for you right now that the stress would leave, that the joy would enter, and that this week you would take time to refocus your life, reprioritize your life, and to get rid of the time stresses in your life, but to focus on what matters most. And then we're going to go back into one great song of worship. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you today that the stress is leaving and the joy is coming in. And God, I pray, Lord God, that you would give people wisdom to find out what matters most in life, that you would show them their purpose, that you would give them hope, that they would focus on what matters most. God, heal relationships, restore them, Lord God. Give purpose and focus back to your people. And God, I pray that today would be the mark of a journey in somebody's life where stress is leaving and the joy of the Lord is flooding in. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, wherever you are, let's go to God in one more song of worship.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.